Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Vamos!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza.
Carlos Alcaraz.
Featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. How would I have discovered this without you sending it to idea@wretched.org? The answer is I wouldn't have found something like this, because this is a story that is going to help you for the rest of your life. Should you happen to, I don't know, go into a mosque or into a Jewish synagogue and just start screaming at everybody, or when they take you out in handcuffs, all you need to do is inform them, hey, this was just a protest. Why do I say that? This just in from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm sorry, I get emotional. St. Paul, Minnesota, my hometown. There was an episode. Do you watch The House Hunters, Jimmy, on the HGTV?
I do not.
Well, I caught an episode. It was from St. Paul, Minnesota. They were debating about moving to Woodbury or to St. Paul. To Highland Park was one of them. And then I think it was St. Paul proper for the other one. They chose Woodbury. They went with the kind of bland-looking suburban home with lots of room in Woodbury. It's a suburb of St. Paul, Minnesota. And they were showing they were doing the drone footage of St. Paul, and they were showing the classic architecture of downtown St. Paul, the Landmark Center, the library. It's just a lovely old town, European in flavor. Totally gone down the tubes. Just last time we were there, it broke our hearts. Homeless people everywhere. Nobody was there doing business. The whole place it was like the Hunger Games. It was weird, utopian, just dystopian rather, and because of the policies that have been implemented there by progressives. Well, in St. Paul, Minnesota, there's also a lovely church on Summit Avenue, a lovely street, by the way. It's called City's Church. You may recall Don Lemon and his pals, they decided to have a peaceful protest by invading it, screaming at everybody and terrorizing children. And they were just let off the hook. That's right. The attorney general in St. Paul, Minnesota, her name is Irene K.A.O., said that her office, well, following a careful evaluation of the video footage, carefully evaluated, they're disrupting a church service. They're disrupting a church service. And having taken a look at they had reports and other available materials, prosecutors determined the current evidence is insufficient to meet the standard for criminal charges under Minnesota state statutes. Oh, okay. So that means that we get to use the peaceful protest card henceforth. If you want to go to a city council meeting and just start screaming and running around and calling people names, it's okay. Before they put the cuffs on you, just say, da, 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 da. Peaceful protest. That's what this is. This is a peaceful protest. You can do this at any government building that you want. You can now, you know what you can do? You can now go on university campuses. You can run right into the science room and start yelling at them how stupid evolution is. And you can even do it like that, because you can be scary and intimidating. And then before the police take you out of the classroom, just say, peaceful protest, we are all good here.
I don't think you're getting it, Todd.
Why am I not? Probably not, Jimmy.
It's just Christian churches that you can do this at.
Oh.
You can't do it at those other places.
Oh, wait a second. That wouldn't be equal application under the law. I don't know. That sounds discriminatory if you ask me. Huh. You know what we need to... Is there anybody still in jail from January 6th?
Probably.
Okay, well, here's what they need to tell the attorney, to tell the judge. It was just a peaceful protest, and then all will be well. Apparently, somebody told me that City's Church on Summit Avenue in St. Paul still being picketed or whatever, the outside. They're still showing up every Sunday. That's what I was told. Every Sunday, they're out there. Really? Really? What is your point? What are these peaceful protesters who want to disrupt and intimidate a church service? Hey, can we apply the Planned Parenthood rule to churches? Can we do that? First of all, I don't think that rule should exist. But hey, if we're going to be consistent, you can't go near a Planned Parenthood to pray or to talk to people or to hold up a sign. But you can do it at City's Church on Summit Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks for sending this to idea@wretched.org. Continue sending stuff there or text away questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337.
This is from Trevor. Todd, I was wondering what are a few ways I can help my pastor in his life and how can I help him shepherd me?
Oh, wow. That's two really big questions. Acts of service. What can you do to just lift the load for him? Babysit regularly, not just once, do it a lot so that he and the missus can just go have some time together. Instead of him mowing the lawn, could you mow the lawn for him? I'm not kidding. If you want to do acts of service for your pastor, do stuff that would normally demand his time and his energy so that he can pour that into either resting or doing more work for the church. Could you deliver meals? Could you give them a gift certificate so that they could go out and have a nice meal together? Wash his car, change the oil, buy something for the family, send him on a vacation. All things that you can do that just says to your pastor, we really appreciate you, we really love you. He would say, if he were asked the same question, I know what, here's what every good pastor, okay, Jimmy, I'm going to write down the word. Oh, wait. I'm going to write down three words. You get three words. You now write down what you think most good Bible teaching pastors would say to the individual who says, hey, I want to do something to show my appreciation. What would those three words be? No, got to write it down.
Oh, you want me to write it down?
Yeah, write it. How? I wasn't unclear. I didn't think the instructions were that complicated. You even have to write it down on Jeopardy.
I watch that every night.
Who's the host of Jeopardy now?
Oh, Ken, what's his face? Ken Jennings.
Apparently you don't either.
Ken Jennings.
Okay, fine. All right, you got your three words?
I think so.
What most good pastors would say. All right, you got to write it down, hold it up, and you say it, and then I'll tell you I've got mine, and I'll show you if we said the same thing. You ready?
Maybe.
All right, read it.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Oh, pray for me.
Boom! Shalagalaga, we got it.
Okay.
Exact same thing I wrote. You see, look, what did I write down?
Pray for me.
Exactly. That's what every good pastor will say. Well, you can do that too, but you can also do something to show it tangibly. That would be a blessing to him. Now, what can you do to help? Was it to help the pastor to disciple him better? Was that how it was phrased?
No, he said, how can I help him shepherd me?
How can I help him shepherd me? By being attentive during the sermon, attending regularly, faithfully. That's super helpful. And if he is shepherding, like he's discipling you, spending time with you individually, then be eager about it. Whatever homework he gives you, do it. Whatever he encourages you to do, apply it. Show your eagerness. That would be super encouraging to him, and it would bless you like a nobody's business, because that's what discipleship is. And that's typically where the discipleship baton gets dropped. The individual is willing to pass off the information and give the wisdom, but you got to catch it and run with it. Huh. This could be a sermon illustration. I think I could go a long way with this one. Okay, wisdom is the baton. The guy carrying it He has the baton. In other words, he has the wisdom, but he wants to pass it off to you. But what do you need to do to receive it? Well, you need to take hold of it. Oh, this is getting really good. But you don't just stand there with it. No, siree, Bob. You've got to run with it. You got to take that wisdom. Then you've got to apply it. Huh? And then you've got to take that application. Huh? And yeah, I'm so sorry. I don't know what got into me. That was really weird. I started huffing.
Yeah, you started doing something.
Be a good disciple. That's all. Just be a good disciple. Ask questions. Prepare for your time together. Ask him probing questions. I'll tell you, whenever I hear something like this or hear about something like this, when a young man or a young lady approaches an elder, somebody who's just older, not necessarily in that office, who's older, to say, hey, tell me what you've learned about. Share with me how you figured out how to do that thing. The person you're asking is going to be blessed, and you are going to be blessed because you are going to be receiving the baton of wisdom. And you are going to receive it, and then it's up to you to run with that wisdom. That's what you can do. This is Wretched Radio.
You open a Bible to the very first line, and you've already hit the claim the whole world wants to fight about. In the beginning, God created. Now, the skeptic knows that sentence is the hinge, so that's exactly where he pushes. Well, Dr. Jason Lyle meets him right there. His new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, is on Fortis Plus right now with a fresh episode every Monday. And Dr. Lyle goes back to that opening line and refuses to move past it. He shows that the universe could never have wandered into being on its own, and that the Genesis account is still standing long after the theories built to replace it have faded away. You get the first page right, and everything after it just makes sense. By the end of this series, you'll stop racing for the hard question and you'll start to welcome it. Watch Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle only on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom. And that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this ought to be interesting. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you said you had two choices for the pastor who is asked, what can I do for you? Uh-huh. We both agreed, pray for me. That's would right. be the response of a good Bible teaching pastor.
That's right. That's
you had a second option.
Yeah, I had a second option because I'm trying to think like you and give more money.
Well, that's not right. Hey, give more money.
Wait. Obviously, that's a
no.
joke.
In fact, not only will I not say give more money, I will say thank you for the money that you've given. Hmm. Now, we hit and actually exceeded our goal for our matching spring gift campaign. That is such a blessing, and it's so encouraging to everybody here. So thank you if you have given. I'm just making sure that I don't now ask those who haven't given to consider giving at FortisInstitute.org/donate. But I'm not going to do that to demonstrate that your second option was wrong, wrong, wrong. FortisInstitute.org/donate. And while you're at the website, would you please send stuff that you find to be wretched idea? Oh, hey, speaking of websites, Jimmy, we're going to have a new website soon.
We are.
Yep. It's going to be, I think, like the next month or so. It's just going to look, you know, a little hipper, a little groovier, a little bit easier to navigate, all that jazz. But everything there, including at FortisPlus.org, it is free. Why? Because of the generosity of the people who give at FortisInstitute.org/donate. 877-282-2337.
This is a question from Bob. It was a text. Todd, what is needed for a baptism to be a baptism scripturally?
Well, you got to have some water, and it's got to be deep enough to dunk somebody, because I do believe baptizo means to immerse. They've got to, because it's a picture. Now, if somebody doesn't go all the way under, do I think that it is an invalid baptism? No, I don't, but I do believe that that was the intention of it, to convey the picture of an individual who dies to self, rises again in new life in Jesus Christ. Same thing is true with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the perfect picture, if you will. So you got to have some water, and then it needs to be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But perhaps lurking behind this question, and what do you need for it to be a valid baptism? You don't need somebody who is validated. In other words, the person who does it, they don't need to have either an office. They don't even necessarily have to have salvific faith. It could be a false convert. It could be somebody that years later, it turns out, is a heretic. Don't doubt the efficacy of your baptism. It is not the individual who does the dunking that affirms the baptismal obedience that you have just committed. It is God who does that. So that's all you need. You need some water. You need somebody. And then they need to dunk you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And might I do a shout out to you? If you have not yet been baptized, you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in him. Please get yourself baptized. Talk to your pastor about it. That's something that will encourage him too, by the way. Jimmy, I just saw a little clip of, maybe we'll play this someday. I still am not exactly sure what to make of it. Somebody at a conference, it was Kevin DeYoung and John Piper. And they were, the question was, why do you believe in believer's baptism, to John Piper, and to Kevin DeYoung, a Presbyterian, why do you believe in pedo, baby baptism? Mm-hmm. And Kevin DeYoung framed it this way to John Piper. Oh, he said, John, give me your best verse to support believer's baptism. And then give me what you think is my best verse to support my position, which is a cool way to do it. I like that because it causes you to interact with the other's argument, which that's a more robust debate. So the question to John Piper from Kevin DeYoung was, and then tell me what is my best support for pedo baptism. And John Piper said, well, Kevin, your best support for baby baptism is the Roman Catholic Church. Wow. That is about the snarkiest I've ever heard come out of John Piper. It was all gentlemanly, but it was like a kidney punch. Are you getting the Roman Catholic Church? Kevin DeYoung. There was some gentlemanly back and forth. He said, well, go ahead, John. And then when you're done, I'll do the cleanup. Get yourself baptized if you are a believer. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, how would you counsel a Christian young adult who is considering going non-contact with their parents due to experiencing physical abuse as a child?
Oh, wow. Okay, that was going to be easy until that last part. The physical abuse as a child. Boy, that's a deep wound, isn't it? And that's something that really could use some healing. Obviously, there's going to be a gazillion circumstances, so I can't really respond to this particular issue because that would just be unwise. More questions need to be asked. What are the parents like today? Has there been any repentance on the part of the parent? Furthermore, to the young, was it a young man, young woman that was abused as a child?
No.
Don't know.
Just that's Christian fine. Young adult.
Yeah. How have they been thinking about their parents all these years? What is their heart like toward their parents? What is their attitude toward forgiveness? Do they have a posture of forgiveness? Do they have a willingness to forgive? Because, and I'm not talking about this particular situation because I don't know the details on it, but it's not just dealing with the abuser in this instance. As a Christian, it is incumbent upon me to have an attitude of forgiveness. Now, we can talk about that transaction, but the posture of the Christian heart must be an eagerness to forgive, even if you don't believe that can actually take place without repentance. I believe your heart should be, if you're not willing to forgive because no repentance happened, there are people who believe that are good, solid people. I think Dr. John Street is there. I would say at the very least, your heart should, it's like you're in a posture of, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move now. Come on. Give me just an apology. And the forgiveness is right there. And I think that should be the heart attitude of everybody who's been sinned against. Now, that's why I would say it there requires so much interrogation on a situation like this. Because if the individual wants to break from parents because they're not willing to forgive, well, then that needs to be addressed in the heart of the individual who was wounded. Because the Christian heart says, I'm prepared. Now, on the other hand, what are those parents like today? Are they still abusive, perhaps verbally? There can be a time when, for the sake of safety, we do, at least for a season, separate from those who could harm us. And sometimes, perhaps with a friend or an acquaintance, that might be a lifelong separation. But with a parent, you're still family. And the desire should be, I want to be with my family. So if you are going to separate for the sake of safety, as soon as it can be determined that those folks are safe to be with, I believe, again, the Christian heart should be ready for reconciliation and ready to be restored to a semblance of a relationship, which, by the way, I don't think can ever be fully re-knit together without repentance, but we should be desiring that. If they ultimately become safe, then I would encourage that person, get back in there. It's your mom and dad. If they're not going to abuse you anymore, seek to reconcile and to restore the relationship. Now, all of that was said in generalities, principles, not to your direct situation, because I don't know it. Before you make a big decision like that, I'm super glad this individual wrote in, but I would turn their attention toward their elders, because they can sit down with the elders and they can discuss these things. They can talk about the parents. They can talk about what the abuse was. They can talk about what their perception of it was. They can even bring in the parents if necessary to talk to the parents. The elders could actually act as a mediator between the two of you. Have they ever received counsel? And by the way, do they profess to be Christians? Were they Christians when they, or at least claiming to be Christians when they were abusing the child? Did they get saved afterwards? All of those things need to be investigated. And only somebody who's involved in the scenario and in the relationships can actually do that. So get your elders involved. And if necessary, ask them to serve as a mediator between the two parties. That, please know, your elder, if you go to a good Bible teaching church, your elders, they're so wanting to help with things like that. You're not going to be an imposition. If you're of the mindset, I don't want to be an imposition on them. Oh, I've only been going there 3 months. It doesn't matter. If you're a member of a Bible teaching church and you have an issue where you need help, you should feel free to go to your elders. Now, depending on what the situation is, they might say, hey, my involvement isn't necessary on this level. Instead, I'm going to turn your attention this way or that way. But in general, their response to you, if you need spiritual help, they want to help. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Breaker production of Fortis Institute. We start in Texas, where Democrat James Tallarico is running for U.S. Senate, of course, against Attorney General Ken Paxton. And Tallarico says he's making his Christian faith the centerpiece. He's vowing to wrestle Jesus away from partisan politics. But his church in Austin, St. Andrews Presbyterian, they fly a cross draped in the rainbow flag. They help fund Planned Parenthood and refuse to call God Father or Jesus King because they say that would make God male. Tallarico himself has called God, quote, non-binary, and he voted against shielding Texas kids from cross-sex hormones. Also, he wants Roe v. Wade written into federal law. If you want to see what people worship once they stop worshiping God, look no further than Boston, where City Hall raised the Pride flag recently while a choir sang what organizers billed as a Pride Month hymn. The mayor, Michelle Wu, used the moment to accuse President Trump of terrorizing residents, by which she means enforcing immigration law. And a legal group has warned California's attorney general that roughly 600 school districts are breaking federal law by hiding children's gender transitions from their own parents. Under a 2024 law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom, if your son starts going by a new name and using the girls' restroom, the school is instructed to keep you in the dark. And the Supreme Court has already signaled that is unconstitutional. And in Washington State, the Bot Hill School Board cut the high school's only armed officer in the name of equity shortly after a student brought a knife onto campus. The students themselves are pushing back, having grasped the connection the school board themselves apparently missed. Meanwhile, in Canada, they're rolling out the welcome map. Recently, they scrapped the limits on citizenship by ancestry, so millions of Americans with a Canadian grandparent now qualify, and the government is fast-tracking applicants who identify as LGBT, handing out some citizenship in as little as 2 weeks with no medical records required. And that's appealing to some families, because Canada is becoming one of the last places on Earth a parent can put a child on puberty blockers now that the U.S. and Britain are closing that door. The humanitarian pitch, in short, come on up and bring the kids you'd like to medicalize. Finally, some good news out of Battleground, Washington, a small conservative town wedged between Seattle and Portland. The city council took up a proclamation condemning Antifa under its new federal terror designation. And how do you think Antifa might have responded to being called a threat to public order? By showing up and terrorizing the meeting. They couldn't have proven the point better if they'd scripted it. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1054. Tensions between the East and the West had been brewing for centuries. But when negotiations between Rome and Constantinople went sour, both sides excommunicated each other, and the divide between Catholicism and Orthodoxy remains to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You better get her done before Monday. This is Wretched Radio. It will be a new release on Monday. That means if you haven't seen the first release of a brand new resource titled Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle, you're going to be behind, and you don't want to be behind. Consume all of our content including irrefutable proof of creation with Dr. Jason Lyle at FortisPlus.org. It's great. It's so good. We played little snippets of it earlier this week. It's not that long. It's like 25 minutes, so you can watch. Oh, you can watch it with your family on TV if you want to, because we got that thing on the Dealey Bob, mm-hmm. you know, where you click the button and there it is, and it just pops up.
Download the Fortis Plus on your smart TV. That what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying here, Jimmy. You don't need to be redundant like that.
I'm sorry.
So the thing, just click it and you'll find it and you can watch it. It'll be really good for the kids because the premise of it is we've got all kinds of arguments for creation, and a lot of them are really good, and I believe all of them, but they're not the irrefutable proof. What is the irrefutable proof? Dr. Jason Lyle, one of our Fortis Fellows, episode 2 will drop on Monday, so get her done this weekend so you're all caught up. FortisPlus.org, and while you're not watching Irrefutable Proof of Creation, you can be sending wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. Or text away to 877-282-2337.
And this is from Gordon. Todd, Jesus said that we cannot add a single hour to our lives by worrying. Is our death date predetermined? Is there a practical approach we can lean on when facing an illness?
Yes, it is predetermined. Like everything is. Otherwise, nothing is. Otherwise, you've got a less than sovereign God. And that is one of the most comforting thoughts you can take to your deathbed. This is exactly the best time. This is precisely the best time. God chooses a better death date for us than we would ever choose for ourselves. So lean into that. Don't let that terrify you. Lean into that. Worry is not going to extend your life. I used to do this, somewhat judiciously, sparingly, because it never went over really well. If somebody in my family, I'm not going to name names, but we'll just say somebody in my family, they were really worrying about something, fretting, talking about it a lot. What if, then if that happens? Well, then when the issue resolves itself well, I used to say, yeah, well, do you know why that happened? Why that resolved itself so well? It's because you worried so much. Yeah, it wasn't received real well. Worry doesn't do a thing except keep you up at night. Worry, though, does reveal something. Now, there's a difference between worrying and planning, thinking through, preparing. Worrying is, I'm scared of this thing. I'm terrified of what's going to be happening. I don't think that there's any. If it does this, then I'm going to do that because it's going to be so bad. I don't know that. That's sinful worrying. That is something that if you're experiencing that, it's revealing something. And here's what it is revealing. I think it's safe to say in every case, a lack of trust in the Lord. He's got it, Christian. He's got it. And he's got you. And he promises that all of his intentions and plans for you are very good, not just okay, they're very good, even when they're hard, even when they're a struggle, even when it means you're going to be taking your last breath today. Remember, what God ordains is always good. He is your friend and father. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from John. Todd, on the subject of patriotism superseding our worship, what are your thoughts on A, decorating the communion table with American paraphernalia, and B, singing patriotic songs such as the national anthem during what is normally a worship service?
I've never heard of a communion table draped in an American flag.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my. I mean, oh, me. Oh, me, oh, I. Oh, no. Did I just mince oath? I just think that sends so many wrong signals. I think it also, it conflates, it overlaps jurisdictional authority. I think it is lacking in this instance. Now, don't take this the wrong way. I'm just using the terminology. It's lacking a separation of church and state is what it's lacking. The communion isn't about America. The communion is not about Americans. Communion is about believers. Communion is about the church. Communion is about oneness. Communion is about unity, hence communion. It's an ordinance instituted by Jesus Christ. For whom? Not for America, for believers. And so I think if you wrap the table in an American flag, I think it confuses what communion is intended to communicate. At the very least, as far as singing patriotic songs during the worship service, if it can be a hymn that thanks God for providing a nation that is mostly stable, at least for the time being, that still does offer mostly religious freedom and mostly freedom of speech. Can you sing songs that thank God for that? Yes. But in my opinion, if they're just songs that talk about how wonderful America is without giving credit to God, then I think you need to be singing them at the park on the 4th of July. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, how can I lovingly witness to a really devout false convert? That is, those who are passionate cultural Christians. They say they like the word and can speak Christianese, but have no knowledge of the gospel, no conversion story, and can be quite ecumenical, mixing Catholicism and even NAR. I'm from sub-Saharan Africa, and cultural Christianity is so rampant here.
I think it's good to remember that you're not the converter. Your job, your role, faithfulness. Holy Spirit's job, convicting of sin, righteousness, judgment, regenerating, sealing, sanctifying. Remember what your role is so that you don't take it upon yourself that, if I said it exactly the right way. No, just be faithful. That's it. Just be faithful. Whatever your level of Christian maturity is, whatever your theological knowledge is, just be faithful with what you've got. The Lord has you there. Share what you know, and then leave the converting work up to the Holy Spirit. Now, that kind of begged the question, how should you do that? Go after the conscience. You don't want to get into all those wrangly debates, especially if they know Christianese. Get it down to the nuts and bolts. God is holy. We are not. We deserve his wrath. Jesus absorbed wrath on behalf of sinners who will repent and put their trust in him. He was our propitiation, our sacrifice, our atoner. Put your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Have you done that? Have you done that? And then at some point, when you've shared it the best that you can, I don't think, first of all, you can remind them as often as you care to, but I think you can be done. Honestly, it's between them and the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that you just get to go, okay, well, I did it once, I'm all done. Well, that's not wisdom. You do it as often as you can without it getting explosive in the dialogue. But at some point, you can just turn things over to the Lord and just continue to have a relationship with the person and be there when the Holy Spirit does the convicting. All that to say, remember your role. I see this somewhat regularly with people that especially interact with people who are professing Christians. They just want to keep, you know, go until they actually get saved. And I get that. And that's a good sensibility to have. But you can't do it. You can't do it. So share it articulately, share it thoroughly. And then you can continue to share it with them. But in a sense, your hands are clean at that point. You can't get the job done. You can't convert them. Now, tangentially, but sort of related, I think this is related subject matter. I would say that we need to be perhaps a little bit more aware that there are people who profess to be Christians that aren't of our precise, pristine theological stripe. Or perhaps even more accurately and importantly, they just don't seem all that interested in theology. Do you know somebody like that? But you talk to them, you know, talk to them about whatever the current kerfuffle is online, the eternal sonship debate, and they're like, duh. I'm playing golf tomorrow at 2. That's what I know. They just don't seem to be interested in that. It doesn't mean that they're not saved necessarily. I believe that there's a lot of people that are genuine Christians that just have a simple faith. They love Jesus. They're trying to not sin. They are being faithful. It just doesn't look exactly the way that we do it. Now, having said that, of course, they could be false converts. That's always a possibility. All I'm saying is there's another option that maybe your dear sweet mother, who says that she believes in Jesus Christ, and she's on her deathbed, and you're in a panic because she's never really articulated it the way that you know it to be true, please consider an option is she might just be a simple believer. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God Himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith? That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality, because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks. There's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services, and you're paying for at least 6 of them. But somehow, every night, you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android, hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content on theology, marriage, parenting, manhood, cultural issues, stuff that actually matters. And you know what? We keep adding more. Yeah, of course, you could scroll through Netflix for like 45 minutes looking for something that won't rot your brain, or you could pull up Fortis Plus and learn something that'll actually help you be a better husband, dad, or Christian by the time the credits roll. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free, and it's on your TV. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched 3 times at least, it might actually do you some good.
Books of the Bible. Esther is the story of a Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia. After a plot to destroy the Jews is uncovered, Esther risks her life to save her people. She appeals to the king, who kills the conspirators and allows the Jews to defend themselves. When you face persecution, remember God is able to save his people through all kinds of circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You picking up what I'm putting down, Jimmy? This is Wretched Radio. I don't want to misspeak, for starters. And second of all, I don't want to get hammered by somebody listening going, hey, you're promoting a mere Christianity. You're just making Christianity too simple, because Christianity, to be saved, it demands death, your death, death to self. It means coming to the end of your sanctimonious rope. It is a confession. I am bad, bad. I'm really, really bad. And I need Jesus. I need a Savior. Please forgive me. I repent of my sins. It is not mere Christianity that I am promoting, but I am simply offering perhaps a word of hope for you if you have a loved one who just doesn't seem to be as robust in their theology as you think they should be, or interested in spiritual things, or when you get together at Thanksgiving, we never talk about Jesus at the table. Okay, that could be a sign they're not saved. It could be. All I'm saying is it doesn't have to be. It doesn't necessitate that they aren't saved because they don't like having those types of conversations. There are simple believers, so we need to find our balance on this. We're not becoming liberal. We're not squishy. We're not going to start the doesn't matter what you believe denomination, but we aren't going to forget that there is a thief on the cross, that there was a man who entered the kingdom who probably didn't have a whole lot of theological acumen. That's the Alistair Begg, man on the middle cross. Right?
Yeah.
We got that in here. Let me find them. You've got the thief on the cross. He was a simple believer, to say the least. So without saying that I'm a heretic now, because I'm saying that people can have a simple faith, please just hear all that I'm saying. It doesn't mean that we want to minimize Christianity to just bare bones nothing. But I want to be careful that we aren't under the impression that somebody needs to have a PhD in theology in order to be saved. Jimmy, am I making the balance here?
I think so.
Fair enough?
Yeah, I think so.
Is there anything that you'd like to say for like 10 more seconds while I find this clip? Be no, really good.
No, I think you nailed it pretty accurately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You think so, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I did. Okay, this has 350,000 views.
Wow.
That deserved.
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, did you? Excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in. So wait, just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come.
Amen. There are simple believers. Let's just not fall into any ditches with this. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm curious about your thoughts on vasectomies. I'm a married guy in my 30s with two kids. I feel pressure from other guys my age who've done this, and I'm reluctant to get a procedure that may be harmful to my health while weighing how many kids I can shepherd effectively. Is it a sin to stop at two kids and have this procedure?
Well, the answer to that question would be a definitive and declarative maybe. Maybe not. Hit the bends. Let's start with children. Are we commanded to have as many children as possible? I think the answer to that is no. I think that children are a mega blessing, and I encourage young people, please consider having babies. They're awesome. They are wonderful. Having said that, I would also say that the Bible doesn't command us to get pregnant as often as we possibly can. That would be a never-ending cycle of getting pregnant, having a baby, getting pregnant, having a woman would do nothing but be pregnant all the time. And there's something about that where I think we say, well, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of time in the middle. But I would respond and say, if we are commanded to have as many babies as possible, don't take any time. You got to make as many babies as you possibly can. And I think we understand that that isn't the command that's in view. We've populated the planet. Babies are a blessing. Furthermore, Paul commended singleness. That means single people are sinning if we are commanded to populate the planet with as many babies as possible. But clearly we're not. Jesus was single. Paul was single. Therefore, we are not commanded to make as many babies as possible. And I will just utter it again. But babies are a massive blessing. For the married couple, therefore, that makes the decision, this is what we can do right now. This is our desire right now. I do not believe it is necessarily a sin to stop or to have a procedure that keeps you from getting pregnant again, unless it's a heart issue, unless you're being super selfish, unless you've got some sort of bad attitude about children, unless you're not trusting the Lord. Well, then it would be a sin. But if you've dealt with all of those issues, you've checked your heart, you've worked through it, then you can stop having children either for a season or for forever if that's what you choose to do. Now, having said that, if you are going to make the decision to have a procedure that ends the possibility of you ever having children, oh, please make sure that you have had long conversations about that and that you have spoken not just to the dudes who are saying, yeah, do it, get that done. You talk to the dudes that maybe had it done and go, I wish we hadn't. You want wisdom is what I'm saying. You want to receive information from both sides of that story. You don't want to make it in a bubble. So if you're going to make a decision to have a vasectomy, that would be that's the end. Now, maybe these days, I think maybe they can redo the procedure, possibly, maybe. I don't think that's guaranteed. Nevertheless, if it is a permanent decision, make sure that you have done your research. Make sure you've done your homework. Make sure you've checked your heart and make sure that you're both on the same page. Having received a ton of wisdom, it's up to each couple. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No.
Pretty much it.
Yep.
It's a big decision. Better make sure that that's what you want. And I'm sorry to shout this again, but I can't help it because these days there's so much disinformation about children. Oh, you don't want to have kids. They're scary. They're going to wreck the planet. What have we seen about those sorts of threats about the planet, that human beings are destroying the planet? Hasn't happened. In fact, I think Ken Ham just did a video on this, talking about the guy. We talked about it here too on Wretched Radio. I just can't recall the fellow's name. He died recently. And back in the 80s, he was like, get ready. The plan is going to be, we're all going to be dead by the year 2004. Well, last time I checked, it's not 2004 anymore. It's scaremongering. Don't let the world scare you into not having children. That's probably a good question. I think that's a good way to frame it for every couple that's working through how many kids should we have. The question isn't how many kids should we have? How many kids can we have? Because they are a blessing. I'll tell you, I think I've said this before. If you said to me, I could go back to when my kids were little, when they were babies, just to, and if it were to do nothing but change a diaper, for real, it's going to cost you this much to go back where your children are babies and you get to change their diaper and then back to today you come. I'd pay it. I'd pay it because it's such a sweet bonding that happens. It is a profound bonding that happens between parent and child. It is indescribable, and it is so deep, and it is so rich. And if you've been putting off having children because of you've listened to the scares and the threats of the world that are just not founded on anything that is scientific or real, don't be lied to. Make babies. They're great. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.